Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another fresh out the microwave episode of Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Okay, well, before we go anywhere else, let's first thank our sponsors. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for, the support. Certosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. I got a few of their shirts myself. Whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, you can find something for you right now at certosaurus.com. Also, Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games with membership options for every budget. Plus, their store carries Lego products and some of the most popular arcade 1-Up cabinets. I think they've even got some Funko Pops up there now. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want, and when you're done, send it back with the postage paid envelope for a new one, or just keep it and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. And you can also find a link to Certosaurus there, right there at the top of geekcavepodcast.com. If you haven't yet, go back and listen to the comics episode. It's a hoot. We talk about zombie tramps. We play What the Duck. And Justin tells us way more than I ever wanted to know about a Freakazoid ripoff by Marvel Comics.
It's true.
Yeah. It's a good time. I'll talk about the rest of the shows at the end of the segment. Chad.
Check it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
Welcome to Demo Derby, where I decide what's worth playing based on what the publisher deems worthy of submitting for a trial. My spouse found me a demo, the 9th game in a series, so I have high hopes on this one, gentlemen. We downloaded it. I played it. The game, Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires. First off, okay. Game looks great. Artwork's detailed. The arenas I played in, they were fleshed out well. Vegetation, points of interest. And I started with the tutorial. After all, I'd never played a Dynasty Warriors game before. Tutorial was fine. I played as a character named Dongbei. I'm not making that up. What's her story? I don't know. But in the tutorial, I did learn a few things. I learned the controls are easy to use. They're easy to pick up. The combos are simple to execute. And Dongbei easily became my favorite Dynasty Warrior in my time with the demo. Then again, it may have been the fact that I was playing the Dynasty tutorial, because when I tried to play the game, things went really wrong.
Aww.
Suddenly, it wasn't just my warrior against a slew of enemies. There were a slew of allies as well. I had no idea who was what or why I was fighting anything. The screen was filled with enemies and allies, and, well, it was Dynasty. I am still confused about what I was doing, what the objective was, why I was in the middle of it, and why it mattered. I have no doubt that there is an audience for Dynasty Warriors. After all, 9th in the series. I, however, had a Dynasty time of it and will not be playing anymore. For me, not even the Dynasty demo.
Now, are you sure it's the 9th in the series and not just, you know, there are 9 characters?
No, there are 5 characters to choose from. Is all I had. And you're fighting 50, 100, 500, God, I don't know, lots.
It sounds like Dynasty Warriors.
You know, I don't tell you how to pronounce things during your first time, comics.
I didn't tell you how to pronounce it. I said what it sounded like. Holy crap. Someone call the police. I just got murdered. What the hell was that?
So, yeah. I know that it's Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires, but truly, I had such a terrible time with it that was just the word that came to my mind.
That's fair.
Over and over again the entire time I was playing. I'm certain for people who like the Dynasty Warriors games, I'm sure that it is an excellent addition. But God, I hated it.
No. Well, I like Hyrule Warriors, which is a spinoff of Dynasty Warriors. I like Dynasty Warriors Gundam, which is also very fun. So, and the Fire Emblem Warriors series just got a sequel announced, and I'll probably pick that up too. So I guess for me, I'm a fan of the sequels and spinoffs, because I don't know if I've ever really gotten into Dynasty Warriors itself. I think I played 3, or one of them back on the PS3, so.
I think I enjoyed it more when I thought it was pronounced Dynasty.
Well, thank you, Chad. Justin.
Darren.
Got anything for us?
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. So, as many of you know, I don't get to play games very much, but I do have a wide breadth of knowledge that I think is useful to the gamer community. And so I go through Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that I think deserve answers in a little segment I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. This month's question, what kind of game system is right for me? Well, in the game we call life, there are many systems to choose from. There's the endocrine, central nervous, digestive, respiratory, muscular, circulatory, skeletal, lymphatic, immune. I mean, the list goes on and on, really. But really, I'd say one of each. It will make you a more well-rounded person in the end.
Informative as always, Justin.
Yep. Yeah.
I strive.
That was good. Thank you.
Not the direction I thought you were going to go with it. So, bravo. Bravo. I thought for sure you're going to say something along the lines of, well, there is the standard Dungeons & Dragons, of course, your typical tabletop. But then there's also Call of Cthulhu and... recently, we learned of Feast of Legends from Wendy's.
Those are also gaming systems, yes.
Yes, they are.
So, I don't have too much else other than the pile of shame. It's going to be a long one, though, but I do have a brief review because the pile of shame game this month, and I'll explain what that is right after we do the music and the line, but it's the second choice. Because the first choice I had, I hated so much, I was just like, I can't make this a pile of shame game. I want to bring positivity to the segment this
Wait,
year.
Wait, aren't all the pile of shame games this year Game of the Year winners?
Yes, but let's talk about one that was so bad it got bumped off my pile of shame list for another game that was sitting there just waiting to be subbed in. An alternate, right, if you will. So... first of all, let's talk about a game that defined a generation. Cliff Bleszinski helped launch this franchise with Epic Games. He stormed the stage for Xbox's press conference, wielding an assault rifle that had a chainsaw attached to it. Everyone was super stoked about this game, which featured big, meaty men slapping other meaty things. With chainsaw guns. And let's talk about a game that really knows how to get the most out of its system with colors like brown and gray and brown and darker brown and a little bit of red and some yellow, but mostly brown.
Unreal Tournament.
Let's talk about Gears of War.
Oh, no.
When I was a younger man... a more optimistic man.
Last week.
It was 2005. I remember it as if it were yesterday. I had a blueberry pie that morning, but I digress. Now, I picked up an Xbox 360 and Gears of War. And after I returned the 360 twice so I could get a working one, that is a true story.
That's true.
That is an absolutely true story. I popped it in, and I start playing, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Look at the water reflections and the guns and the explosions and the... Yeah, this is great. And I practically finished the game. I think I stopped because I didn't really care about the final boss. And the series never really hooked me. So it's been through a number of iterations since then. And it won Game of the Year that year because it was, you know, it was at the time, a really good-looking game and a fun game to play. But this isn't 2005. This is 2022, mofo. And in 2022, Gears of War is an unplayable, depressing mess. I could not tell what I was shooting at half the time, which is not normally a problem in shooters, except it is when your teammates rely on you to revive them if they go down, and your bullets can do that. They'll walk right into your line of fire. And usually in one of these cover-based shooters, anything that walks into your line of fire gets fired upon. This is also the game that kind of helped popularize the fact that in any third-person adventure game you're playing, if there are chest-high walls, you're going to be hiding behind them and shooting at a lot of bad guys. The story is simple. Humanity has fallen because of some weird, you know, creatures called the Locusts. And they don't look anything like locusts, by the way. They just look like giant mutants or whatever. And yeah, it's a lot of gunplay. There's a lot of really big guys moving, kind of like how you expect really big guys to move, although still somehow faster than you would expect really big guys to be, wearing the bulkiest armor I have ever seen in any video game whatsoever. It looks like, take the defensive line of the San Francisco 49ers. No, wait. The Las Vegas Raiders. They're already wearing black and gray. So you take them, you hand them guns, and you just have them, I don't know, storm a third world country, and you'll get an approximation of Gears of War. I tried. I tried mightily to play this game again. But what younger Darren was able to practically complete, older, more cynical, and more I just want some pretty colors, dang it, Darren, tapped out after a mere 4 hours.
So about like 2/3 of the way through the campaign.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just didn't do it for me.
I like how it took you a mere 4 hours to decide you didn't like this when I've walked out of movies.
I wanted to try. I tried really hard, man. I wanted to give the game its due. You know, I recognize that not all games are for me, but I could still find something to appreciate about it.
Fair enough.
And I appreciated the fact that whenever I turned it off, it turned off. Before we get to the pile of shame, a new game just came out. Chad, I haven't had a chance to play it, but have you?
Yes, I have gotten to play about 90 minutes of Horizon Forbidden West. I'm playing it on a PS5. I have a 4K HDR television on which it is being played. And I'm saying that so all y'all listening will hear me when I say that this is a beautiful game. And here's the next bit. It did not matter if I was playing in resolution or performance mode.
Ooh.
This is a beautiful game. So if you play in resolution mode, you're going to get native 4K gaming and 30 frames a second. If you play performance, you get 1800p and 60 frames per second. With the performance option selected, yeah, you might get a bit of aliasing if you're really looking. I didn't. I didn't notice at all in the exploring I was doing. I didn't notice when I was fighting the gigantic robot snake, which you'll get to in like the first hour and a half. Not a spoiler. It shows it in like the preview. I did notice, however, when I turned on the resolution view and suddenly my frame rate dropped in half.
Yeah, it's one of those trade-offs.
So, for not being terribly noticeable in terms of graphical quality, I'd say go with performance is my kind of my recommendation there. Game controls well. It feels good. It feels like Horizon Zero Dawn. The feedback, haptic feedback, plus the trigger feedback stuff for the bow is awesome. Like, yeah. I want them to make another Tomb Raider game for the PS5 just so I can have that with Lara Croft's bow now. The tutorial, it's about an hour long, but you're not learning how to do things yourself. You're teaching Varl how to do it.
Oh,
because nice. Because Varl from the first game is joining you, and you need Varl to survive. Because you don't want Varl to die because
no.
you were a bad teacher, do you? Or are you a monster?
I like Varl.
See, I thought not. You know, you're not a monster, Darren.
No.
And so you'll put up with that hour of tutorial of Aloy telling you things you already know, but Varl has just received a focus for the very first time. I'll update my experience through the next couple of months as I play through it because I have no idea how long it's going to take me, but it's an estimated 40 hours to completion. And so I'll probably still be playing it next month.
All right. Well, and we're taping this the day the game came out. So I will be streaming it tomorrow in our time. For you, it will have been the long ago. So you'll have to find the video on twitch.tv/DTPodcast or on our YouTube channel. Link is on the website.
Discord and we'll tell you.
Yeah, just freaking join the Discord. It's great. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But while we do have the Discord mentioned, I wanted to bring this up. It's no secret that Justin is new to the PlayStation 5 family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So Chad and I have been compiling a document of games that we are recommending that he play, PS4 and PS5 games. If you guys on the Discord want to help out, just, you know, drop us a line. Tell us what games Justin should play. Please try to make them games that he can actually get a hold of through Gamefly or something that I or Chad might be able to get a hold of through our extensive collections.
Yes, my thumbs, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, as I alluded to with my false start pile of shame game, Gears of War, this is a year where I'm going to play the best games ever made. Also, Ocarina of Time. Kent?
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
A lot of love to Zelda. It's just go back and listen to that one if you want to know why my opinion has changed. It's still a good game, still an important game. It's just not one of the greatest. But the next one, now both of you might be able to provide some context here. Have you ever played a game where you
yes.
go in? Okay. Yeah, I walked into that. Have you ever, wait for it, have you ever played a game where you go in not expecting much or thinking it might be overhyped, and then you come out thinking, holy crap, that was one of the best experiences I've ever had?
No, but my spouse has, and I think it's called Our Honeymoon.
All right, I'll put one on the board. That's good. That's a good one. That's a solid, solid line.
I have definitely bought games that and I've said this before, I can hate a game for $20.
Yes.
And I have come out of that loving, I mean, that's how I got into God of War.
Yeah.
Was that's I fair. I bought the first God of War game for like $20 on PS2, you know, in the long, long ago, just figuring like, it's $20. And I have now played every single one except Betrayal, because it turns out you can't play Betrayal anymore because it only came out for iOS.
Aw. Well, 25 years ago, a game was released on the PlayStation 1 and Sega Saturn. A game that didn't really do well at retail, but since then has developed a massive cult following and has been ported to the 360, the PlayStation Portable, the PlayStation 4, Android, and iOS. It is a game that I thought was incredibly overhyped, because how could one game possibly be this good? And then I played it. Let's talk about Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Okay.
So, for those of you who have never played a Castlevania game before, this is a safe space. Welcome. But the roundabout is, it's a side-scrolling platform slash hack and slash. You play Alucard, which is the son of Dracula. And every once in a while, Dracula's castle shows up, and Dracula's gonna, you know, make it the spooky and, you know, cause problems for people. And so Alucard is done with this shit for hundreds of years, so he's gonna put a stop to Dracula once and for all. He's gonna, that's it. This is it. This is the line. You crossed it, Dad. You're going down. So you explore the castle, beating some of the classic monsters along the way. There's the mummy, there's Cthulhu, there's the Grim Reaper you have to fight. It's great. When you first face the Grim Reaper, Alucard is just this egotistic little shit. Like, just get out of my way. I'm here to do it. You can't stop me anyway. And so Death, you start the game off with all of these powers, and Death immediately takes them away, like 10 minutes in, because you were a little shit to him. And so the rest of the game is navigating this castle, finding spots that you can't get to right now, think Metroid, but when you're upgraded, you can come back and get into them. You know, you eventually develop the ability to, you know, jump long distances, fly like a bat, turn into a werewolf dog thing, all kinds of special weapons and abilities. But the real crux is, A, it's pixel art, because PS1, Sega Saturn, but it still holds up today. If you find one of the most recent Twitch streams we did, there's about 30, 45 minutes of gameplay there, and it still looks pretty good. And the most important part is it plays really well. The controls are tight. Anytime I died, it was entirely my fault. And the enemies are, yep, they're basically just kind of window dressing. You're there for the exploration. And if you do things right, and this is my biggest criticism of the game, if you do things right, you'll get to explore the whole castle, you'll get the good ending, all that stuff. It's hard to do things right without spoiling it, though, because there's tons of stuff in this castle that are easily missable. You can end up walking into the fight with the final boss well before you're ready. And you can inadvertently kill someone that you should not have killed. Those are negatives. Luckily, you know, 25 years of hindsight, I was able to, you know, I didn't pull up any spoilers. And I used the guide only when I had to, when I felt absolutely stuck. But I wanted to make sure I got the good ending for this, because, you know, I'm going to play this to completion as much as I can. If you do things right, you've spent 5 or 6 hours exploring this castle. Another castle has now developed underneath the castle, and everything is backwards. Go do it again, kid. But this time, you know, you're on the ceiling and stuff like that. It's identical to the prior castle, except different enemies. Some of the traps that you sprung have already been sprung, so you don't have to spring them again. That kind of thing. And, you know, after you beat the game, you get to unlock new characters to play through, all that stuff. It's It's really good. Of course, there's one of those things where whenever you beat the final bad guy, you gotta escape, the castle's collapsing, yada, yada, yada. Metroid, Metroid, Metroid. There's a reason that the genre is called Metroidvania. It's because Super Metroid and Castlevania Symphony of the Night essentially are examples of how this type of game works. Both do things so well that they hold up decades later. So I was really, really impressed. I went in not really expecting... I thought it was just going to be okay because I like Metroidvanias, but I didn't expect it to be this good. I also didn't expect to have as much humor in a game that is about dark and gothic things. There's a secret room where you find a small confessional. And if you sit down, a ghost priest shows up, absolves you of your sins, and leaves behind grape juice for you to use as a healing item. Then you can go ahead and sit down in the priest chair, and a ghost comes up trying to offer confession. And if the ghost finds out that you're not really a priest, you will get stabbed.
Okay.
You can unlock little familiars, like a sword that follows you around, or a bat, or a fairy, and I love the fairy. She mostly heals you whenever you're low on health, but if you're afflicted by something, like, sometimes you can get turned into stone because Medusa heads fly around the castle. She'll pull out this giant mallet and whack you until you're no longer stone. It's, you know, little touches like that. There's a trophy. All right, so Symphony of the Night is the... I played it on PS4. There's a trophy called Lethargy of Dischair in that if you find a chair and you sit in it long enough, you'll fall asleep. And if you have the fairy equipped, she will fall asleep too. And when you stand up, she falls off and goes, no, in the most overly dramatic way possible. But yeah, it's great. And a lot of people thought so too. Electronic Gaming Monthly awarded it PlayStation Game of the Year and Side-Scrolling Game of the Year. It was also named Game of the Year by PSM, PlayStation Magazine. And that is how it made it to this year's Year of the Games of the Year, where every month we will be looking at one of the greatest games ever made and Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Gentlemen, do you guys have anything further?
No, sir.
I'm good.
All right. Be sure to check out our other shows. We've got You Want Me to Watch What on the second and fourth weeks of every month. We've got the Week 3 podcast, which astoundingly happens on the third week of every month. And we also have a couple YouTube shows you should check out. Retromantics, where Lori and I try to compete or work together, depending on the game. I think we've got DC Superhero Girls and Super Slam Dunk Touchdown coming up. So those ought to be interesting. And, of course, Geek Cave Plays on Twitch and on YouTube. Be sure to join our Discord. You can weigh in on the show. You can also just chat with us. You know, we're kind of entertaining. We're mostly friendly. And we've had all of our cyber shots. A big thank you to Justin and Chad and Kent and to you and to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.